We're going to get into the message, and so glad seeing some of you back here. Thank you. I'm excited about that. You've been in journeys and far away, so I'm going to start things off. Is that all right? You say, there goes Pastor Paul. Let's get to the word, Pastor Paul. Well, let's just do real quick a cute little story. Can I do that? It's a joke. It's called, If You Gotta Go, Start Early. I just think it's a great article. Here it is, and how many know Leviticus, since we're going through Bible reading time? The book of Leviticus says, hey, since you don't have bathroom facilities, you take a tool, go outside the camp, dig a hole, do your duty, cover it up, come on back in. Have you seen that in Leviticus? Yeah. Anybody know where that chapter and verse is? Isn't God smart? Well, anyway, we'll just kind of throw that out there. It's in the Bible. It's called dry camping today. If you don't have a nice plumbing and heating, you just take your tool, go outside the camp, make sure you cover it up too. That'll be good. Here we go. Let's just take a look at that. Thanks for bearing with me. It says, my friend is a rather old-fashioned lady, always quite delicate and elegant, especially in her language. She and her husband were planning a week's vacation in Florida, so she wrote to a particular campground and asked for a reservation. She wanted to make sure that the campground was fully equipped, but didn't quite know how to ask about the toilet facilities. She just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in her letter. She's just so ladylike. And after much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term bathroom commode. But when she wrote that down, she still thought she was just being too forward, so she started the whole letter all over again, rewrote it entirely, and referred to the bathroom commode merely as BC. Does the campground have its own BC? Is what she actually wrote. Well, the campground owner wasn't old-fashioned at all, and when he got the letter, he just couldn't figure out what the woman was talking about. That BC business really stumped him. And after worrying about it for a while, he showed the letter to several campers, but they couldn't imagine what the lady was asking. So the campground owner finally came in up with the conclusion that the lady must be asking about the local Baptist church. Sat down and wrote the following reply to this lady. Dear madam, I regret very much to delay in answering your letter, but now I take the pleasure of informing you that the BC is located 9 miles north of the campground and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit it's quite a distance if you are in the habit of going regularly, but no doubt you'll be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make it a day of it. They usually arrive early and stay late. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago. It was so crowded that we had to stand up the whole time, and there we were. It may interest you to know that right now there is a supper plan to raise money to buy more seats. They're going to hold it in the basement of the BC. I would like to say it pains me more because I'm not able to go as much as I would like regularly, but it surely is no lack of desire on my part. As we grow older, it seems to be more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. If you do decide to come down to our campground, perhaps I could go with you first time and go sit with you and introduce you to all the fine folks. Remember, this is a friendly community. I don't think she showed up anyway. Well, Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for opening our hearts, and thank you, Lord, for allowing things to be displayed that no human reasoning could actually understand, except your Holy Spirit teach these things to us, in Jesus' name, amen. We have been in a series, and today we conclude it, but that series is relational revival, the need to have relationships around us we're finding is so significant. The last 2 years has caused our society to become very mean-spirited, very contentious. It's very self-interest and self-loving. There's areas where people are just angry. And there is an element that we know, and it's been proven, that healthy relationships develop healthy physical frames for us, healthy emotions. to not have healthy relationships around you is very unhealthy. It's not for us to continue to have unhealthy relationships, to be contentious. That will cause unhealth in any one of us. So we've understood the importance of relational revival, to have those people that may be in your life or the possibility of coming out from home to say, I'm going to risk once again in society and be a part of people and things, and to experience what it is to have people in my life once again. That's important. We're finding that's very helpful, that our love has been tested the last 2 years, but man, we're going to see here once again how love endures. Our series, the first four times we were together, we started with the love of God. Who could be so kind and loving unless we experience God's love for ourselves? Incredible, incredible love. God made us, and then he comes down, visits us, and says, I'm all in for you, everything. I'm putting all my chips in your corner to redeem you and have a relationship with you. Then we went at it and we realized that relational revival will help with regards to mercy. Remember that? Nobody's going to know if we love them except through mercy extended. That's how people knew Jesus loved them, is because he extended mercy. That woman caught in adultery. Those areas, that woman at the well, just a lifetime of just being a woman of the street. Areas that are so incredible that people knew Jesus loved them. I've experienced the love of God in that fashion. I'm sure you have too. Then we realized that relational revival happens with our words. Many of you were so grateful. Thank you for your emails and responses. How that just to check and recheck what we say to each other. In the heat of a moment, we say things that really, I wish I didn't. Because it takes a long time to recover from those things. But we sure can say some good words and edify and encourage people that will really help affirm and build a revival in that relationship. Last time we recognized, too, there's no way to really have interaction with people without forgiveness. And that's where we saw that message on relational revival with forgiveness. So significant what it is to release somebody. And today we're going to just conclude by taking a look at today's message, relational revival with resilient love. We just want to say, man, I know it's been difficult. Some of you said, you know, I went ahead and just said, I'm going to show mercy to this person. It was just kind of like, boom, right back in my face. Don't quit. Don't quit. Resilient love is going to be so significant for us to recognize this. What does resilient mean? Well, the definition on your notes, and I hope you'll take notes because this is last week for our life group, so let's go out with a gusto. Thank your life group leaders for their dedication to assemble your group these many 10 weeks. But resilient means an ability to recover from or adjust to adversity or change. To adjust to adversity or change. There is really the only real ingredient that I think is resilient is the element called love. And I have 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, and I want to bring that up to you because we're going to break this verse down and we want to see what love's all about. And I hope it drives us, it certainly does me, drives us to God in prayer. Lord, I don't want to love this group of people. I don't want to care for that group of people. Do you remember what they did to me? And then it drives us to our knees. Lord, how do I go back to loving them? What is that all about? Resilient love. What's the description of that? 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter. All of us know about that. But verse 7, let's peel it apart here. It says, and I'm reading from New Living Translation, love never gives up. That's what we're going to take a look at. The second is, on that note, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. We're going to take those in four ingredients about love. It's talking about love. You know when you deal with love that verse 13 of same 13th chapter is that now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You know that. We've heard that. Some of you even have placards at home about that. Faith, hope, and love. Let me tell you, and hope is significant. Biblical hope. Because hope, as you and I know, it is an expectation with a desire, with an expectation to see it happen. If you don't ever expect something to happen, you don't really have biblical hope. You have a wishful thinking. I've had people tell me, oh, Pastor Paul, I really hope revival comes to Huntington Beach, and then they move away. But that's okay. But it's amazing because we desire something, but we don't expect it to happen. But real biblical hope is an expectation. It's a desire with an expectation to see it happen. That's why faith itself in really Hebrews 11 comes along, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So it's important when we take a look at that. But the element of love, how do we love one another like this? Because we know when we're dealing with resilient love, no wonder why for God to put the two big commandments out there to love God and to love your neighbor. Man, there it is. It's like, how do we do that? How do we do it? This is what I have found has benefited, literally transformed my life. It's right there in Romans chapter 5, and I'm just going to say verse 5. It comes by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Look what it says here, if you would take a look with me. New King James says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look at that verse for a little bit, just a little bit. Love of God's been poured out where? Right in my heart. How did it get there? The Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Boy, that's why it's so significant. When we take a look at the ingredients of, man, everybody should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not talking water, we're saying not just being born again, but man, get the Holy Spirit and have somebody pray for you to have the Holy Spirit come on you. You will be transformed. And we're not just talking about a new prayer language or moving in the gifts or possibly operating in the miraculous. That's all God's thing. But he does want to use someone. But I think when people say, well, how do I know if a person's really baptized in the Holy Spirit? This is it. There's incredible love for others. That's really the barometer that would show, is that person filled with the Spirit? You will see, just like we did in our special offering today, that there's just something that wells up within a believer that's Spirit-filled, says, I love God and I'm going to just do this because I'm motivated by love. And that's what that verse says. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit. Wow, it's so important. That's why you and I who are charismatic in nature, Pentecostal in pursuit, Ephesians 5:8 says, hey, don't be overwhelmed with alcohol. That's a Holy Spirit counterfeit. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Ephesians 5:8. Write it down. It says, man, constantly be filled. Don't go with the counterfeit stuff, but really get ignited with God. Anyway, just want to highlight that just in case you say, oh, there's just no way I'm going to be able to really carefully care for others. Then why don't we consider having the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Come on you, come on you. Wouldn't it be great? Love compels us. Well, let's look here a little bit. Let's break down that verse. Number one on your notes, resilient love never gives up. We're going to just take it down with verse 7, never gives up, literally. But look at Romans 13, verse 8. We weren't too far from that. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. Owe no one. Now, it's interesting because you and I, it's just the society that we live in, maybe you can find yourself gravitating to. I know Ainsley and I are always checking, like, what are you reading lately? What's the latest? Because we can become angry. We can literally become disinterested or apathetic. Ah, that's just them. All of a sudden, it's just total disengaged from society, and we just don't want to hear what other people have to say. It ventures into judgment, judgmental attitude. Oh, I go there so easily. I don't want that. what ends up happening is that that could be the way we view God viewing us. How does God feel about you today? What is God feeling and thinking about you today? Many times people say, well, I think he's angry with me. He's disinterested with me. He's apathetic toward me. He doesn't want to hear from me. And I think he's really out to get me. It's like, wow, no wonder why you're just a basket case. Because God can't wait to have a relationship with you. The truth is God loves you, and there's nothing you and I can do to stop him from loving you. He wouldn't have made you if he didn't love you. That's important. You are the lovely, lovable type. Me? Yeah. God loves you. It's important. Nothing can separate, Scripture says, God's love from you. Not your behavior, not your past, not your attitude, not your broken relationships, not your epic failures, not Satan, not hell. Man, God is all about loving you. Now, that's important to remind ourselves, because you can see now how a Christian could be moved to love somebody that we just had no interest in other times. So with that, it's important. I think it's a vital element in this day and age that people start to say, you know what, I really miss hanging around with people. You're here today because probably you say, you know what, I think I benefit by being around those fellow Jesus people. Yeah, good job. It's a great day. Man, you will feel so much better today. You'll have a good nap too, I guarantee it. And then you will have an exquisite week. Why? Because you've given some of your time to one of the Ten Commandments, to honor the Sabbath day and make it one of those sacred things. I call it a mini vacation for people. It's a day of rest and worship. Man, isn't it great? God is so smart. And way to make that 1/10 an important time. So as we look here, we want to consider that. And I find it so important when trying to display what God's love looks like through Christians. I'm sorry, I'm a part of the Christian community worldwide. Sometimes Christians can be quite judgmental. We are not very kind. We could be rather rude. The world understands that love has conditions, so we can go back into that. It's that 50-50 thing. Yeah, if you do this for me, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's why we have to be very careful about that. It's kind of like, well, I gotta protect my interest. I gotta be careful about that. So we define love with conditions. So you know, as we take a look at relational revival. Now we're talking about somebody that's mature is going to have to break through. Somebody with God and power, because it's humanly impossible to have a resilient love for somebody that just does not want to engage. But I'm telling you, we're called by Jesus light and salt. You are the light of the world. Isn't that nice? He didn't say you will become. He says you already are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. So I think this is one of those areas in loving the Lord and loving others that's so important. Well, let's take a look. Number two, resilient love never loses faith. We take a look here, never loses faith, back at verse 7. But I think it's worth noting because the example I've given here in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, is where a close friend of Jesus really disappoints him. Oh, that hurts. Man, that's a bummer. And take a look at what he's such a model example for us who came in human flesh. But here's where Peter denies he knows the Lord. We're coming on to the Easter season. We're just really about 3 weeks away. We'll be talking about all this. We're starting it even now. But look at verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Well, talk about an epic failure. And I'm telling you, usually closest friends that fail like that with us, that's why the failures really impact us the most. We're closest to people like that. It hurts so much. It really is quite devastating. Sometimes people can never really recover from that. But look what Jesus does, because it's important. It's important. First of all, Jesus prayed for Peter before he failed. Hey, isn't that amazing? Satan wants to sift you, baby, but I'm praying that you don't succumb to that. That's important. Remember, we were talking about forgiveness. Since we're in a broken society with broken people and injured lives, that we have to give them the ability to realize, you know what? The closer I get to them, I've got to give them the condition. Realize forgiveness needs to be ready to go because they're going to probably disappoint me. They're going to probably bum me out. So Jesus prayed for Peter before he even failed him. Second thing is that Jesus gave him a pathway out. He said, when you return to me, isn't that nice? I'm sure that Pete would remember that when he was in tears after that rooster crowed the third time. Remember, Jesus says, hey, Peter already said, no, Lord, I am going to even die for you. Jesus says, I'm going to guarantee you, the rooster will not crow this morning until you've denied me three times. Ooh, the Lord even knew the account. Now, that's an amazing thing. And he said, but when you return to me, go and strengthen your brothers. I'm sure that Peter appreciated that word, when you return to me. Oh, is my life over? Does God want me? Have you been there? I mean, the devil who causes all of us to be tempted and then we go and do the sin, because see, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted three times in the wilderness. So just because you're mulling over your mind saying, I'm going to do it. That doesn't mean you might as well just go and do the big sucker because it's just too much pressure. Hold on. James 1:12 says, man, blessed is that person who overcomes temptation. For when he's tried, he's going to receive a crown of life that the righteous judge will give to him on that day. Ooh, hang in there. But the idea being, once again, when Peter knew he really blew it and Jesus told him on his way back. Now, it's important that we prepare and practice I forgive you. Isn't that important? Don't you think that's important? Have you ever used that word, I forgive you? You don't just say, oh, don't worry about it. Don't do that. Matter of fact, it's even hard to say, it's hard for me. I'm sorry. Let's practice that. Some of you are looking pretty stoic. Just turn to somebody that you know you haven't offended yet and just tell them ahead of time, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Take time at home. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's hard. Some of you say, nope, I'm not. I'm perfecto mundo. Well, then the person you just told, sorry, to turn back to him and say, I forgive you. Go ahead. I forgive you. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. Yep. Yeah. Some of your wives are thanking me right about now. I know it. Sure. Yep. It's important for us to have that. So let's face it. Sometimes it's very difficult. Remember, if you do approach people, dear ones, and you go and try to make it right with them, don't give up. Don't give up. And if they refuse you, don't worry about it quite yet. That just maybe means they're going still through the sifter. They're going through the sifter. Because I'm telling you, to withhold forgiveness, people get really wrecked. Because the way out of it is forgiveness. But you give them an ample way to get right. Say, hey, if you ever want to just kind of make it right, don't forget, I'm ready for you. And it's important. Okay? Somebody say amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Number three, we better move a little bit. Resilient love is always hopeful. And that's what verse 7 said. Love is always hopeful. And I love that. I love that element. If you lose hope, it's a dreadful day. Could be a dreadful month. Could go into years. I have no hope. Love is always hopeful. If you've got people that don't want to hang out with you, maintain hope because your love for them or your love for our great city or your love for people and destinations in the world. I love the fact I bring in Luke 15, verse 20. It is the story of the rebellious son. We call it the prodigal son. It's more not about the wayward son that cuts and runs with all the cash. It's more about God the Father. It's like, what, who wouldn't want to tell others about how great the love of God is? When you read something like this, but check out, love is always hopeful. And that's what God the Father is today. That's what he's doing today. It's like, what should I be doing today? What would be the will of God? Man, he's hopeful that people that are lost will find him today. Now, lost people, I mean, they just don't know the way back to a relationship with God through Jesus. But check it out with me. It's in verse 20. I'm in Luke 15. Look at what the father does here. It says, so he returned home, that's the prodigal, to his father. And while he was still a long way off, see where the dad is really anticipating, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. I love that. I love that. That's our God. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Love always holds out hope. Always. Man, don't bail on somebody, and don't go by what eyesight might be today. That's why compassion for the prodigal, it's, you know why, I've recognized why God is so compassionate for people like us, and especially when you've backslidden. And listen, you don't backslide in 15 minutes. Nobody backslides like, okay, I'm just going to go and do it. Because when we do sin, there's always a way to ask for forgiveness. So be careful and quick to say, Lord, forgive me. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive me my debts. Today I did it again. But the reason why God is so compassionate for people that continue to bumble is because he knows how destructive sin is. That's why. Man, sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's important for us, and it's a gift that God wants to give, but the element of the wages of sin is death. So somebody who wants to live in sin and then die in sin, they're going to earn something called separation from God. We know it as hell, but that's not God's plan. So it's important for us once again that we take a look at that. Sin is very destructive. We've sat down with people and say, you know what? We've overlooked things with a new upstart Christian that we would never permit with a more mature Christian, because sin will destroy you. It'll destroy your living arrangement with that person. If you really love them, let's do the right thing. Sin will destroy your business transactions. It'll consume your finances. And then you'll be the only one, and you'll say it was them and never me. Wow. Sin is just destructive. It destroys relationally with God, and then everybody gets pummeled. That's why God's so compassionate with prodigals. I love that about the Lord. I want to be that way. I can't. I need the Holy Spirit, and I know you would agree as well. You need the Holy Spirit. Because there's so much pain and brokenness and despair right now in our society, we really have to be ready to welcome them back to Hope Chapel, especially during Easter time. Many times during Easter that people are that time, I'll make a stand for God. Let's be prepared for that. And finally, number four, resilient love endures through every circumstance. And boy, that's one of those like, Lord, really? Every circumstance? Then that word resilient has to happen. That's why James 1, verse 3 and 4, but the endurance through every circumstance. But check it out with me in James chapter 1, verse 3. I like what it says here, because people will put you to the test. Have you found that out? Yeah. I mean, man, oh man. It's amazing. And people are fun. Just go to the airport. Isn't it educational? I mean, it's like, whoa, look at that guy. Oh, wonder what his life consists of. So when you look here, James 1, verse 3 and 4 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So baby, let it grow. Oh no, I wrote that in there. But so when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I'm telling you, take a look at that. There are three things that happen when your faith is really being tested. And sometimes to do what God's word would say about forgiving or loving unconditionally. Oh, Lord, help me. There is no human humanly way possible. That's why we need a change on the inside. That's the beauty of what we're going to see today with the water baptisms. It just people are declaring a new person, new direction, the importance of that. But it says that you will be developed, perfect, and complete. Can you see that there? And finally, needing nothing. Wow. Wow. That only happens by hanging out with people, and it's important. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 says, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. I just saw my tax person Saturday, yesterday. I just thought I would say that. I say, hey, I got a verse for you. No, we just... Oh, we've been together a long time. But it is interesting. We take a look at that. There's just sometimes it's easy to love people that love us back. But how about people that you know just say, no way. Wow. I would say, Lord, help us. Help us. We have the love of God. It has not been diminished for any one of us. And I'll tell you, the Lord who loves you so much and the importance that he has as we welcome our worship team, the significance of God displaying his love. I highlight it as we prepare for our Easter time, our Easter messages, and our sunrise service at the pier. Boy, the Lord, how did that get displayed? How was that? I like Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Can you see that? Somebody could say, hey, I love you, bro. But man, when they finally put something together like that, Jesus did. That's significant. God loves us. God loves you. The importance of that is so vital, so important right now. To say, does the Lord really love me? That's why we continue to have a cross here. Just in case people think, I don't know if God loves me. Let's check out the cross. That's a display of love for us. And then I want to also highlight 1 John 4:10, where it says, this is real love. I like that, don't you? This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Boy, that's pretty explicit. Lord loves us. He loves humanity. Some people are lost. They don't know these truths. Today, you and I are hearing that. We're being reminded about God's love for us and for others. I need to be able to be prepared to love people even though they don't respond to me, even though they don't want my help, even though I look too churchy, too cleaned up, I'm not radical enough, not weird enough. Man, I who cares about me, really? I mean, really? Why? Let's talk about Jesus. That's what I want to talk about. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to display. So on this Easter, as it approaches, it's so significant for us because the resurrection is proof that what God said is true. The resurrection proves it. Have you ever had somebody say, I told you so? The resurrection is a I told you so. It is that exclamation mark when Jesus says that my sins, your sins, came on me and I paid for it all. I told you so. The resurrection is that all my promises are true. I'm telling you so. That's important. Have you ever tried to tell somebody, hey, and then they came back and said, you know, you were right. I told you so. That's what God has done through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The one who made everything. Jesus made everything, came to dwell and become a person like you and me, to give his life for us. Oh, so significant, so important for us. When he died on a Roman cross for us and resurrected, he's saying it's paid for. Who wouldn't want to have their sins removed? Who wouldn't want to have a relationship with God? Who wouldn't want to have that security to go to heaven? Man. That's so important for us and the beauty of that. So we want to thank the Lord for what he has done. I want to invite you even now, right now. It's always important. There's no way we can display the love of God unless sometimes it's demonstrated through people or through the power of the Word of God. And if you are in need of that assurance that God, we know He loves us, we know that, but you're not in that right framework or relationship with Him, wouldn't it be great? Some may be first time to receive Jesus. Maybe that's you at home. Would you join me as I lead us all in prayer? Or possibly you've done this before, but it's time where I want to be all in and recognize how much God loves us. Let me lead you in that prayer, and I'm going to invite you as well. As you just close your eyes with me, this simple little prayer is an invitation to the Lord to forgive and to come into my life. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And I confess to you now all my sins. I'm sorry. And I ask you, Lord, wash me clean. Come into my life. Come into my heart to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, Almighty God, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just keep our eyes closed for a moment. You know, as a pastor, it's always my responsibility is being a good overseer. In other words, is there somebody that has just confessed and received Jesus this present moment? And you who are with us online, please send in an email. Let me know. Love that. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you invited Christ, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Go ahead, put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else say, I recommitted my life to the Lord. I'm not where I'm at, but today I'm going for it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. Well, we're going to just thank the Lord for that. I want to pray you off a blessing. This is really, really outstanding. So thankful. So thankful that you're here. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.